Happy Friday, everybody, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by the great folks over at The Magic for Less Travel. Right now is a great time to plan that late 2014 or early 2015 Walt Disney World vacation. Why, you might ask? Well, there's some great deals out there. There's some great room-only rates, as well as the play, stay, and dine option to get discounts on all three parts of your vacation, the resort room, your Disney dining plan, and tickets. To get all of the great information and to start planning your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line getaway, drop by themagicforless.com today. Their services are absolutely free to you, and you're going to get first-class concierge-level service each time you work with one of the great agents over at The Magic for Less. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 777 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. We made it to another weekend. This weekend does not have Halloween or anything crazy like that, so hopefully you can kind of kick back and maybe relax a little bit. I know, just thinking about that, I got 20 miles to do tomorrow. Thanks, Jeff Galloway.
But
20 miles, man. That's a long drive, people, but I'll be out there, so hey. Give me some tweets at BRGuestMike Saturday morning. I'll be running all over Florissant. If you see me, give me a honk or something. But, you know, again, huge a shout out to all of our lizards out there, because so many friends are out there just pushing the limits and crushing PRs and just doing awesome. And because of that, you're keeping me going. So I thank you for that. And, hey, it's only 63 days, I think, or less to marathon weekend. So, it's right around the corner, people. We're going to have a great time down in January at Walt Disney World, celebrating all this hard work we're putting in right now. But today we're going to talk about a topic you thought you may have never heard here on the Be Our Guest podcast. But you know what? I said if we got to 777, we're going to do a show about flying. And I'm not flying. I'm just sitting back and hosting.
But remember when Mike was talking about flying for marathon weekend?
He needs to fly.
I did talk about it. I talked about it, and then my sense came to me, and I said, "Oh,
okay."
No,
I was going to say now he seems to be, you know, chickening out of that. So yeah,
I'm not chickening out. It's cheaper to drive, of course. That's my thing. It's cheaper. Way cheaper. It is.
I put that in quotes.
And Time is money.
No, but I love seeing God's country. That's what I say.
Oh my God, that's how he talks.
You can see it
something.
From above.
No, Georgia's awesome.
God likes gorgeous. It when you see it from above.
You can't count the Zaxby's from the air, people.
Oh my God.
You can't stop at Zaxby's if you fly it over them at 40,000 feet or 30,000 feet or however high you are. I'll have to ask Jay. I don't know. Anyway, so let's get the crew introduced. You've heard her. From a Disney World After All.com, it's Ricky. Happy Friday.
I think happy Friday. You're a chicken, and that's all. So, yeah. No, I'm also not ready to run my 6 miles, which I'm kind of regretting at this point. And Brian is nowhere near running his full marathon. So, yeah. I think we're both regretting our decision to sign up for this race.
Well, the good news with the training is that, you know, you don't have to run the huge distance. For the people that are training for the marathon, and it's my first time obviously doing anything like this, is that, you know, I thought initially going in you'd have to run like 20 miles like every Saturday. But what it is, you only have to run the long distance about every third week. So
gotten to the every third week either. So I don't even think he's gotten to, you know, past 10. So I don't know. He may have, but I don't think he has. So
yeah, I just keep telling myself, you know, after this Saturday with the 20, I've only got two more long runs until the big race. Like you do a 23 in a couple weeks and then you do a 26, which I'm not doing the 26.2. This is against my, I'm like, I am saving the 26.2 that one time for Walt Disney World. So I'm going to make sure that like when I hit like mile 20, if I hit mile 25 in my training, I'm going to make sure that I'm right around the block or something so I can stop right at 26, because I'm doing exactly what the Jeff Galloway plan says, because he's the expert and I believe in Jeff. But I am not doing the point two. I'm going to make sure I'm saving that point two for Walt Disney World, so everybody knows. All right. Also joining us from the Magic for Less Travel, the co-owner, we have Pam Forrester. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday. I am not regretting my not signing up for any of this. And, you know, we will be watching from the sidelines and cheering.
Hey, that's seriously, that's important. And it's fun. I'm looking forward to cheering the half marathon. I love cheering.
It is. It's so fun to share. I got to find my Mickey glove, too, to take down there to you know, give high fives. It's so awesome. Like, I love getting to do that. I love cheering on the runners. So.
I've got my Mickey mitts. I see him right here. Ready
Mickey
to
mitts.
Go.
I don't want it to be like the year it was slating.
No, that was a bad year.
Oh, if it's
very
like
bad
that,
year.
I'm going to be so upset if it's like that.
Oh, my God.
Because I almost died in 13 miles. I couldn't have done 26 that day. There's no way.
But you also didn't train for that 13 miles. So, I mean, let's be honest.
That is true. But, yeah. I mean, it was just, I mean, anybody was miserable. 2010, the Frozen Marathon. Anyway, it's not what we're
and
talking about.
Yeah,
today.
The Frozen Marathon. And yeah. Ironically, Frozen wasn't even out yet.
Exactly. You know, who said they haven't had a Frozen race? They did.
They did.
Elsa smoked us out that day. I mean, it was ridiculous. Anyway, back to the topic
at
hand.
Yeah, we're not talking about races today.
We're not talking about it, but we will soon because I want to get Mike Bankhead in here. But he's down at Food and Wine at the Wine and Dine. He's not doing the race, but he's down there for the weekend. And so we'll get him on here. We'll talk a little Run Disney here very soon. But today we're talking best practices for flying down to Walt Disney World on your Disney vacation because... You know, I was thinking episode 777, that's a Boeing aircraft. See, I'm in the know, you know, I know about airplanes. I just don't, like, trust them. But I know, you know, I know the big one's the 787, the big Dreamliner now, which, you know, kind of has me curious. I saw that Messiah was posting some footage of that landing over in Tokyo. But, you know, so you guys both fly quite frequently, and there's some things I'm sure you've learned over the years that can help somebody that, you know, because let's face it, in our audience, we have lots of folks who maybe have never flown and maybe have never specifically flown into Orlando where you're dealing with that airport. Magical Express is a total Disney thing. So, Pam, where could we start to help folks that, you know, maybe are frequent flyers and maybe folks that have never flown to Walt Disney World before? Where can we start?
So the first place you're going to want to start is your airline's website. Whatever airline you're flying on, make sure you go to their website. They're going to have lots of information there on things you can bring, things you can check, things you can't check. They're going to give you the size of your luggage that is meets within their standards without getting the extra charge for most luggages. They're going to tell you how many pieces of luggage you can bring with you and things like that. So all those important things are going to be on the website of your individual airline.
So let me ask, and I'm kind of a good person to have on the show, you know, being somebody that doesn't fly, you know, and is not familiar with a lot of these things, but so with the checked luggage, I mean, Southwest Airlines, at least for years, you know, for somebody that doesn't really worry about this stuff, has always kind of, you know, pushed itself as this airline where you can check your bags, the bags fly for free or whatever they say. So what's the typical thing to watch out for as a consumer when you're flying with checked baggage? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you got to kind of be cognizant of your airline's policy. But what, you know, is there a good rule of thumb for your checked baggage or, you know, stuff to look for?
Well, typically you want to keep it under 50 pounds.
Yeah.
That's typically the magic number, at least for flights within the U.S., that it needs to be under 50 pounds. If it is more than 50 pounds, you will incur an additional fee in addition to what your airline may charge to check even one piece of luggage. So that's something to consider. Also, you want to look at the size of your luggage. Each airline has their own restrictions on the size, and it will give you the width, the length, and the depth. So that your piece of luggage does not exceed that, because if that is the case, then there will also be an extra charge for that. So that's something you want to think about.
All right, so let's kind of jump to something else. I mean, definitely before you go down to Walt Disney World, and it's booking your air. And, you know, we all want to save the most money we can on the Walt Disney World vacation and definitely on your air. So, Ricky, what have you found that helps you book your air the best to save you the most amount of money?
You know, I've really found, I love Southwest. I think that, you know, I like their policies of that you can, if you book it and you find the cheaper rate at all, you can, you know, rebook it at the cheaper rate and then you get a credit back. Now, granted, they have changed their policies. You do have to use that credit. It has to be you. So it used to be that you could, you know, if it was you and your husband, you could combine it together and use it for just one person to fly somewhere else at some other time. Now it has to be under the person's name. So that's kind of a downer. But at least you still have the money, so you still have a credit. So that's nice. So that's kind of, you know, I love Southwest for that reason. But, you know, and I also love that they have the bags fly free. I just, that's so perfect, you know, because I... I'm one of those people who hates the fact that they started charging for bags. I think that it should be included in the price of your airfare. That's it, you know, but I get it, you know, any way to get money out of people, so whatever. So I've been in the hotel industry. I know how that works. So I, you know, but anyway. So I'm always, you know, one who says, keep an eye out, you know, as long as you can get kind of a idea of how much your flight is going for, you know, for a few months, you know, get kind of that idea. And then if you see where it drops really low, you know, get on it and book it. And oftentimes a lot of those websites will have, you know, sales, you know, be cognizant of when they're having those sales. They post them all the time. Follow their social media accounts because they often post those sales on there as well. So, you know, really just kind of watch those things. And then of course you can get on sites like Kayak, and a bunch of, and actually I think Bing has a airfare kind of watch thing as well, where they can tell you, you know, kind of how prices are, whether they think they're going to, whether they predict that they'll go up or down, that kind of thing. And that could be a good gauge for you as well. So there are quite a few things that you can do to kind of watch for a pricing. But my main thing is to watch to see what the average price is. And then, you know, if you can either book it at that price, and then if it goes down and you are flying with an airline that will give you the option to, you know, rebook without any hassle, then do that. I don't think there's that many airlines that do that anymore, but I know there are a couple still out there. But otherwise, you know, just see where that average medium is, and then, you know, book when you think you get a really good deal. So
let me ask Pam this. I mean, that's some great stuff. I like the social media because I didn't think about that, but they're going to definitely push, you know, probably very specific deals that, you know, probably won't match 99% of their followers. But hey, if you're sitting in Atlanta and you want to get down there to Walt Disney World real quick and they're throwing out some extra deals, I mean, that makes sense. So Pam, what about you? I mean, is there any apps that you use, or do you use any of those aggregated sites to find good flights, or, you know, how do you do it?
I don't, because I know my flight routes.
Right. That's kind of me too. Yeah.
And I know who flies direct. And I am a big believer in direct flights. I know that oftentimes people are looking for the best price, but I will tell you, if you are one time you miss a flight because you took a connecting flight, you saved $25 on your flight, but you ended up having to connect and then ended up, you know, getting there hours and hours later than you thought you were going to. It really makes all the difference. And that's why I try to only fly direct when I can. Now, I know that's not possible. Thankfully, you know, Pittsburgh to Orlando, there are a couple of airlines that fly direct routes, and I'm really lucky for that. When I'm flying out to Disneyland, of course, I have to connect, and I do that. But that's why, you know, my routes, I just am really familiar with the routes that I fly all the time. And I know where to look, and I know who's going to have the best price with the best kind of flight for me.
And that's one of the things I was actually going to ask you. It's so funny that you know, talk about the direct flight versus the connecting flights. And I was thinking that definitely looking at, if you're trying to save the most amount of money possible, you know, obviously you're probably going to be able to book something slightly cheaper. But again, we've said this, time is money on a Disney vacation. And also, you don't want to have risk that you could miss something. I mean, you don't want to miss a connection and then miss, you know, 12 hours of a Disney vacation. I mean, that's half a day, and that's precious time.
And oh, absolutely.
Sometimes I was going to say, you know, those you know, layover flights, they are not sometimes always the cheapest flights. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you have to stop, they do have extra costs added to them because of the fact that they have to stop and, you know, extra fuel and that kind of thing. So sometimes the direct flights really are your best option overall, whether it's, you know, just because you're getting there faster or price-wise. So that's something to look out for as well.
I was just thinking, you know, like if I was flying with Mallory, you know, I wouldn't want to have to land and take off again and, you know, change planes or anything like that. And I mean, because if you're flying with kids, you just want it to be the simplest way between point A and point B. And I would pay a premium, especially if I was traveling with kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's totally worth it.
All right. So let's talk about packing here real quickly, because, you know, we don't want to drive this into the ground. It's a couple minutes. But Pam, anything? Because, like, you know, you guys know when we go to Walt Disney World for our summer trips, I mean, we take a trailer. I mean, we bring the house, so we don't even think about it. You know, it's like, can we need this? Throw it in. You know, I mean, we don't care. But, I mean, obviously, you want to, and sometimes, Pam, I know you don't even check a bag. So,
I'm a big believer in not checking a bag, and I will avoid it at all costs. So, Anyways, you know, I think that you don't have to go crazy like I do. I'm just nutso about it, and I really like to challenge myself and see if I can fit it in a carry-on.
It's a game.
It is. And I'm winning. So anyway, no, but some things you want to be aware of. You know, if you're bringing liquids on, they can only be 3.4 ounces or smaller. You can't bring anything on larger than that in your carry-on. You can check it. So if you're going to be bringing on, you know, larger shampoos or things like that, then they'll have to go in a checked bag. If you, you know, you can always buy those kits. And I like to, I shop a lot at L.L. Bean or eBags, or there's a few other travel sites out there that have little kits that you can buy that have a bag that is, you know, equal to the size of bag that you're actually allowed to carry on. And then also may have containers in it that are the size of the liquids and gels that you can use. So you can fill those up with your liquids and gels, put them in the bag, and know that you're meeting the TSA regulations about liquids and gels. So something to think of. All those liquids and gels that you bring, even if they're 3.4 ounces or smaller, they have to fit in a quart size Ziploc bag. So that's something you're going to want to think about. Another thing I always caution guests is do not check anything that you're going to be heartbroken if it's lost or you're going to need. So medications and things like that, do not put those in checked luggage. Those are going to go in your carry-on bags, which are always going to stay with you. Expensive jewelry, do not put that in checked luggage. You know, another thing to consider. Sometimes I think I don't need to say this, but I will tell you, I have seen this many times. Do not put your laptop. Do not put that in your checked luggage. Don't do it. Not a good thing. Don't put your iPad there either. Luggage gets handled a lot, even if they're gently handling it. Picture that lots of gently other luggage on top of it. So anyways, something to think about. And just, you know, when possible, I mean, my tips for trying to pack light is layers, layers, layers. So take things that can be layered, take shorts and pants that can have multi-uses. You know, I think things like packing cubes or compression sacks sometimes help you pack a little smaller, not lighter, because it's still going to weigh the same amount, whether you compress it or not, but something to consider.
All right. So, Ricky, what about you? Packing tips. And then we're going to move on to like practical ways to get through the TSA screenings, you know, just like physically getting through there, but packing. What do you think?
Oh, my God. I'm the worst packer. Like, I'm probably the person who should never give advice on packing because I am a pack rat in general. And so when I am packing for a vacation, like, I'm like, throw it all in. So I'm more like you, Mike.
That's right.
Pam.
You need a trailer.
I'm so bad. Like, I start with thinking, okay, I can fit it all in this tiny little suitcase, you know, the little one that I could, you know, carry on. And then as I'm packing and continually packing, I'm like, nope, not gonna fit. And so I have to get out the big one. So I'm terrible at it, actually. I overpack all the time. Doesn't matter. Because I always think, well, you know, I like to have options. And so, like, what if I, you know, don't want to wear this on this day? You know, I like to have the option of, okay, well, if I want to wear it, I can. If I don't, then I have something to back up with. So I usually pack, you know, at least one extra outfit, at least, probably a couple extra outfits. At least, you know, extra, just everything. So I'm really terrible at it. I could pack a couple extra swimsuits, you know, cause I don't like to put on a wet swimsuit after I've already been in it. So, you know, you gotta have the extra. I'm just a terrible packer, but I have found that, you know, rolling can help, you know, laying it flat can help as well. It just depends on how you want to pack and how, you know, how wrinkled you want your clothing. So yeah. And then I have a couple of bags that I put my toiletries in. One of them is for, you know, the shampoos, conditioners, toothpaste, hair gel, that kind of stuff. And then the other one is a smaller, tinier bag for makeup. And I only take with me what I need. So in that, for makeup and hair stuff, I only take what I need. Go figure. For clothing, not at all. So, yeah, I only take the makeup that I know for sure I will wear every day. I don't take anything, you know, special or fancy unless I'm going to a fancy dinner, which, let's face it, at Disney World, I'm hardly ever doing. So, you know, that's kind of something to keep in mind as well. Just take what you need in the makeup and toiletry department. So,
all right. All right, well, then Ricky, go ahead and walk us through like getting through like the TSA checkpoint there. I mean, because I've heard you hear all the horror stories of it when you're not, you know, when you're somebody that doesn't actually go through it, because you only hear the bad things. I mean, how bad is it for somebody that doesn't know what to expect?
It can be nerve-wracking, and I get that because, you know, it's TSA. I mean, hello, that totally can be nerve-wracking for someone who doesn't do it all the time. I'm kind of pretty much a pro at TSA by now, I feel like. So make sure that you take out your laptop if you brought it with you. You must put it in a bin, so make sure you do that. It cannot be in a bag. You can leave your iPad, though, so just keep that in mind. The iPad can stay in. Make sure you take out your liquids as well. Like Pam mentioned, you know, they have to be in a plastic baggie, so make sure you take that in a quart-sized plastic bag. Make sure, just do kind of a check, because I know we're all guilty of it. Just do a check of what you're carrying on to make sure that there's no liquids in there. I mean, we've all been guilty of them going, hey, what's this? And you're like, oh, right, you know,
dog. Sucker.
I totally left that in there. You know, matter of fact, it happened to my brother when we went home for grandma's funeral. He accidentally left his shaving cream in his, you know, carry-on, and he had to throw it out. So, you know, that kind of stunk for him. So, you know, just kind of be cognizant of that as well. Make sure that you... So you're going to have to, unless you're above, oh, how old is it? 75, I believe. I think it's 75. You have to take off your, any belts, your shoes, and make sure you have that stuff taken off. Make sure you take everything out of your pockets. Make sure that you've got everything out that could potentially ding. And jewelry is usually okay. You're usually, you know, as long as it's not like, you know, blinging jewelry. And you know, that kind of thing. It's really easy. Just make sure you try to do it ahead of time. Like, start getting your stuff ready ahead of time, because really that's the part that takes the longest. It's not, you know, anything besides waiting for the conveyor belt to be open to you. And that's really the part that takes the longest and is the most frustrating is that, because you have to wait for the people who get to the front of the conveyor belt, and that's when they start to get undressed with their shoes and their belts and everything, taking their laptop bag out. If you can start trying to get that stuff ahead of time, just, you know, get it, start taking out your laptop, you know, that kind of thing right before you get there. That way you can move along a little bit faster and know how many bags you can, or know how many bins you'll need as well. Because a lot of times people have to go back and get an extra bin or something like that, and that can hold up the line too. Bags do not have to go in bins. That's a big pet peeve of mine. Brian does it all the time. He puts his bag in a bin, and it's like, no, you don't have to do that. You're taking too much time. So yeah, just keep your bag, put it on the thing, you're fine. So those are kind of my tips. And then, you know, it depends on which kind of TSA area you're going into. Some of them are still the walkthrough. But I think most of them are the kind where you have to hold your hands above your head and they do the little swipey thing around your, you know, you're in a, like a plexiglass container thing, and they swipe around you and they see if you have anything. So, yeah, it's pretty easy. And then when you're done with, you know, getting all that taken care of, make sure you, if you can't collect your belongings quickly, you know, grab them and take them off to the side. That way other people can get their belongings and they don't have to wait for you.
Man, that is a lot of work to get on an airplane.
It kind of is, but, you know, I mean, you
it
pretty much have to
like
get...
2 minutes.
God,
I mean, it
the way she
take
described it,
it,
man, it's like people getting
it doesn't take long to do, but it's just all the things you have to think of. Oh, and I will say, too, you can bring food, which I found out. You cannot bring liquids, but you can bring food, because when I was in St. Louis last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, So Pasta House is a restaurant that's in St. Louis that I love, and they have one in the airport now, and I was like, oh my god, yes! So anyway, they had like the best salad, and so I wanted to bring one home for Brian, and I asked them, I was like, is it okay if I take this through TSA? And they're like, yeah, you just can't take liquids. So
well, could you take the dressing?
I could, I put it on the salad.
Oh,
so
you just dumped it on.
Put it on the salad. I had a spaghetti bolognese, took that through too, it all went fine. So yeah, you can take food items, you just can't take liquids. So
interesting. If you want to be entertained, those folks that are cruising with us on the podcast cruise on July 10th, that we're getting closer, people, less than 9 months, it's gonna be so much fun.
Yes.
And if you want to join us, still space available for the podcast cruise, so let me know. To shoot me an email, mike@brguestpodcast.com. we'll get you on the Dream. We're gonna have an awesome cruise. We're already planning stuff. I can't wait. This is gonna be the best one ever. But watch me go through the thing where you got to get into the terminal, because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I get buzzed like 17 times because I, you know, everybody else has been on an airplane to get there. Like, I'm just like, what, my iPhone? Oh, what? Oh, man,
oh, man, I have to take that out?
Oh, man. And then it's like, you know, I touch something. You know, oh, sir, you turn your iPhone off. You can't have that on in here. You know, it's like, oh, my God. I am so bad at this. Like, guys, I get nervous. Like, when I got to go through that thing, I'm so nervous.
No,
I'm going
to
buzz.
Nervous, though.
I don't want the thing to
not
buzz.
At all.
I'm just like, is it going to buzz because of something? Like, because I have a feeling? You know, I don't
no,
know.
No, it's not. You're fine. You're fine.
I'm freaked out by it. Anyway,
no,
so Pam, anything you can add to getting through there? Then we're going to move on to actually arriving down at MCO.
I say absolutely, first of all, do not be nervous. I think that's the thing. You see so many people who are like, oh, about it. Don't worry about it. You have to take off your shoes. You have to pull out your liquids. You have to pull out your laptop if it's not in a TSA laptop approved bag. Anymore, though, you can buy a bag where you don't even have to pull your laptop out if you don't want to.
True.
So that's a really cool thing and makes things easier. And don't feel pressure from the people behind you. Everyone should have gotten there in plenty of time to, you know, go through security. If you have to go through the machine that does that low radiation x-ray of you, you just stand there, legs apart, hands above your head. You know, it's easy. It takes like a second for it to happen.
Yeah, they say it'll be like 2 seconds and that's it.
Yeah.
How bad, how much does it hurt? Does it hurt a little?
It doesn't matter.
I'm just kidding. I'm just
kidding. You're fine.
So it's easy. It really is. I understand that it's you know, stress inducing kind of time, especially if you're there and you have your kids with you and stuff like that, but it all works out. And, you know, if you have questions, just ask, they'll help you.
Absolutely. That's what they're there for, you know, outside of the, you know, while you're getting everything together, they're there to answer your questions. So ask them.
I'm sitting here biting my nails in the studio, just thinking about
Oh my God.
Anyway, that's me. So you get on your plane, you fly down to Orlando or fly up if you're coming from Miami or something. And actually, I've flown into Tampa, I've flown into Miami, and I've flown into Orlando. Just so you know, I've flown into 3 Florida airports in my life, but, you know, not recently. But so Orlando, if I'm not mistaken, has that monorail, right, to get you into the main terminal if you're not in the main terminal. And so you get there. So, Pam, walk us through the experience from deplaning to somebody who is taking Magical Express to arrive at their Walt Disney World Resort. How's that go?
So you're going to, once you arrive at your gate, you're going to get off your plane. Follow these signs for luggage pickup if you have to get your luggage. If you do not, then you'll be able to go right down to the Magical Express spot on the B side of the terminal. But anyways, you'll be heading, you'll take the monorail like transportation back to the main terminal, and from there you'll either again head to where your luggage will be delivered, or you'll head right down to Terminal B and the Magical Express counter, and you will check in and have your magic band on if possible, and then get on the bus and be on your way. It's really, really an easy process. Mm-hmm. You have to go down an escalator from the main terminal. It goes down 2 floors, and you're right there. It's not a huge airport.
So how hard is it, though? I mean, is there signage? I mean, I'd imagine that.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people are going. I mean, obviously, you know, people are going to Walt Disney World, so it's easy to find Magical Express once you get into the terminal.
Absolutely.
It is. In fact, on the Southwest, when you're getting off the plane and go through, before you get to the actual airport, you're walking off the plane and up that ramp, it actually tells you where signs for, it tells you, there are signs there that tell you where Magical Express is.
Yeah, and when you get to that side, you'll see people in Mickey gloves. So, I mean, you'll notice them. They'll be standing out there waiting for you to ask them, where is Magical Express, if you don't know where it is.
Again, they're Mickey mitts.
I'm sorry.
I'm just messing with you. No, but so, you know, with these magic bands that have been, you know, out for, you know, almost 2 years now, Pam, do you typically see folks with magic bands on your plane from Pittsburgh now?
I do, yes, and I look for them, and I usually have mine on because I try to remember to put it on before I leave home, or I'm always afraid I'm going to forget it, you know. And if you do, it's no big deal. They'll give you a gray one when you check in, but yeah, absolutely, I look for them.
That's like a conversation starter, I'd imagine, kind of like, you know, wearing some Mickey ears on the way down. That'd be cool. Yeah. Actually, that would get me excited to see other people with magic bands on.
Yep.
Have you seen that too, Ricky?
I have not flown to Walt Disney World since, you know, so.
Since Magic Bands. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. So let's kind of wrap this up with, you know, you have your awesome vacation. Magical Express gets you there. It's time to go back and you're going to fly back home, or you're going to, you know, connect through some other city to get back home. How does that process work, Ricky? I mean, when does that start? I know the night before you're going to get something on your door, correct? If you use a Magical Express.
Yeah, absolutely. You get the envelope of sadness.
That's it for the sad bus.
Yes, and it will tell you all the information that you need to know about, you know, what time the Magical Express bus will come there to pick you up, anything you need to know about if you can take advantage of the resort airline check-in, which for the most part, most people can now, I believe, which is a perk that they have at all Disney-owned resorts where you can just drop your luggage off and they will magically take it for you to the airport, so you don't have to worry about it. But there are some, you know, stipulations, so you just have to kind of look out for those, and they'll be included in the information for you as well. So yeah, that's kind of the beginning stages, and then, you know, you just make sure that you are at the Magical Express bus. You know, it's usually 3 hours ahead of time, ahead of your flight. So make sure you are at least, so make sure you're waiting for the bus and don't miss it. And I think now you can use your magic band to get on the bus. Whereas before, when I took it, you had to, you know, there was a like a booklet and there was a coupon or something in the booklet that you had to have scanned. So now I think you can use your magic band. But it's really simple and really easy to get back as well. Just, make sure that you have your luggage packed and you're ready to go.
All right, Spam, any other final tips for flying down or returning home and you know, just having a great experience with your airline travel to Walt Disney World?
I think that airline travel is something that there are many people who get a little nervous about, and I think it's perfectly natural, right?
Sorry.
Yeah, including Mike. But I think the thing that, you know, is good to focus on throughout your travels is this is the means to an end, right? I mean, you're going to be taking this plane, this trip to get you to Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland on a great Disney vacation. So, you know, don't be stressed. Just, you know, as soon as you get on the plane, take a deep breath and know you're going to be there really soon, much sooner than if you were driving, and enjoy the ride.
Good tips. And yeah, I think this was kind of fun because I think, you know, if you're flying down and I think that a lot of times, you know, Pam, Ricky, Debbie and I, you know, we have so many people that are out there that we talk to so frequently that are, you know, folks that travel down multiple times a year. But I know that we have a lot of folks in our audience that have maybe never been to Walt Disney World and maybe never flown. So I think that hopefully today we got to touch on some of those topics from, you know, Ricky and Pam are definitely veteran folks that have flown many times to Walt Disney World. So we hope this helped you. You know, we want to make the show fun and we do those crazy shows like last Friday on Halloween, but hopefully today.
What
we
do you mean?
Balance.
I think my Walking Dead, you know, Kilimanjaro Safaris idea was a great idea.
That's it. You know, we try to balance it out. You know, we're trying to give you some good information today that's actually useful and not just Space Mountain backwards. You know, I mean, come on. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. And like I said in the top of the show, it's a great time to plan a late 2014 trip to get down there and maybe see the holiday decorations. You know, it's going to be happening here very soon. It's a great time to go down there. Low crowds when this discount's out there for the end of 2014. In great weather. I mean, you know, you could even, you know, in the nights, it gets a little bit cooler and you get some hot chocolate and go around and see the Osborne lights. And, you know, there's a new Frozen thing on the castle at the Magic Kingdom. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also, you know, the beginning of 2015, play, stay, and dine. Great opportunity to get down there and save money on all parts of your Disney vacation. So drop by themagicforless.com. They have a great website. They have blog posts there to help you plan a better Disney vacation. All the specials are there. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast and get planning the next Disney trip. So drop by today over at themagicforless.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over at magicalmouseradio.com. And don't forget to join me, and maybe just me, on November 16th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. That's going to be a fun Sunday night over at MagicalMouseRadio.com for the next Be Our Guest podcast live show. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm on Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, thank you so much for downloading the show. Hopefully you got something out of it and it'll help you plan a better Disney vacation. And if you're one of those veteran flyers, maybe, you know, give us some feedback. Drop by Facebook and give your best tips as well. We all just want to have a better Disney vacation. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.